Let our praises remind all the darkness of how great and how mighty our God is. For the battle belongs to the Lord and no one else. We are standing in holy defiance. We're declaring aloud in the silence that the battle belongs to the Lord and no one else, no one else. We'll sing hallelujah for all hell to hear. Shout out Hosanna above every fear. Strongholds will crumble like castles of sand. We are marching on. We're marching on. Unstoppable kingdom advances as we take back the ground from the darkness. The battle belongs to the Lord and no one else. You're the banner we raise in the chaos. No, the gates of hell won't stand against us.
Never end. Well, good morning. I was reading through 2 Kings, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and there was this moment where I'm reading and I'm thinking, I have never read this before. And I know I had, but it struck difference. This is what it says. It says, "Now the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, 'See the place where we dwell under your charge, it's too small for us.' And then it says in verse 2, 'Let us go to the Jordan, and each of us will get there a log. And let us make a place where we can dwell there.' And so he answered, 'Go.' Then one of them said, 'Be pleased to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' And so he sent with them, and they came up to the Jordan. They cut down trees, but as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, 'Alas, my master, it was borrowed.'" And so do you catch what's happening so far? There's just a bunch of guys. They're cutting down trees. They're felling the trees. And one of the guys had an axe, and the axe head flew off into the water. And I'm thinking, is this really in the Bible? Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and he threw it in there, and the iron floated to the top so the worker could get the axe head and put it back and get back to work. Anybody find this mysterious? Because I do. But then when I think about who God is, it's not so mysterious. God is interested in the small things in our lives. He's interested in the things that are going on around us. He cares. He cares even about our borrowed axe heads. He cares. He's interested. And the reason I wanted to share that this morning is because I don't know about you, but sometimes I can get pretty overwhelmed with all of the stuff going on across the world. Sometimes I can get consumed with trying to make sense of what's happening down the street or what's happening in the Middle East. What's happening in my own family. And I was reminded as I read 2 Kings 6. God cares. What we have going on matters to him. We don't have a God who's distant, who's far. We have a God who we can lean into, who we can share with, who we can say, "I've lost this piece of whatever." And God will somehow cut a stick through his prophet, throw it in the water, and the stick sinks, but the iron floats. That's my God. That's what he's capable of. And so my encouragement to you this morning is, I know we have plenty of stuff happening. can you, for just a few moments, like the next hour and, I don't know, 14 minutes-ish. Depends how long the preacher preaches. Give it all up. Hand it all over to him. And say, God, I give you this time. And would you remind me, God, that you're God. I'm not. That you care even about what seems to be the small, insignificant things in my life. That what you're doing matters. And so, God, would you just remind me today of how great you are? Can we do that? Excellent.
All right. So, guys, this last couple of weeks we've been talking a lot about VBS and all the camps that are going on, right? And I don't know about you, but I have a little bit of FOMO that I don't get to go to these camps and experience them and experience all the life change that happens with the kids. So this morning, we are bringing camp here. We're going to be at Camp Mountain View. Oh, come on. Yeah, we're at Camp Mountain View. Yes, and so we're going to bring it back to 1994. And we're going to start this morning with some praise. Hello, good morning. And we're going to sing a song that is familiar and can get confusing if we don't think about this. So historically, the song has two parts sung at the same time. The men will sing the top line and the women will sing the bottom line. Do you know what song I'm talking about? Oh, see, you guys already know. So when we get to that part, have you noticed we don't have any men on stage? So Missy and I are going to play the role of the guys, and Don is going to pull double duty on the soundboard and sing along with us. And so if you are a guy in the room, when we get to the chorus, follow us. If you are a female in the room and you get to the chorus, follow Savannah and Maggie, all right? You guys ready? So would you guys stand and let's praise the Lord together. Come on.
Prince of Peace, I will live my life for you.
You can lift it up to the Lord.
Oh, I want to see.
Glory,
pour
this out together. My hope is built on nothing less.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ love. It is a firm foundation.
Oh, isn't that good to proclaim and to know? Man, we got to live that this week and our lives that way out in front of the world around us. Man, I'm so glad you're here with us today, whether you're in the room here or whether you're online with us. It's good to be together and to be encouraged and to experience life change together. We want to connect with you a couple of different ways. Every week here at Mountain View, we want to connect with you missionally as well as relationally. And man, missionally, we're just, we've been talking about it. We're going to keep talking about it because it's so important. Man, our kids are front and center as we walk into summertime. And we're expecting and anticipating and praying for a lot of kids at VBS. And we still need folks that'll hang out with them. And so if you've been meaning to sign up, would you please take a minute this morning, snap that QR code, or as soon as you get home, go to the website and register for serving. Specifically, we need folks that would come and walk with a group of kids and take them from station to station. You're not being their teacher. You're not being, you're just hanging out with them. You get to sit in a row here, and you get to watch them and love on them and just spend time with them Monday through Thursday of that week. And so besides praying with us, would you serve alongside of us the week of VBS and register and do that? And we still have cards, and so as well as if you've got grade school-age kids around you, there are cards on the communion table. There are cards out in the foyer. Man, grab those. And then relationally, when I connect with you, there's cards, prayer and story cards and giving cards. And then if you're here and you've not filled out this tall red card, I'm going to be at the Next Steps table on the way out. And I would love to say hello and connect a name and a face before you get out of here today. All right, thanks.
I forgot we don't have a video in the summer, so that was an awkward delay. But you're really excited now, because here I am, right? Hey, we are jumping into a new series, and it's going to be just the summer in Proverbs. Who's ever studied and like spent time in the book of Proverbs? Good, good. So a lot of you will know exactly what's going on there. Before we dig into the book of Proverbs, I think there's some basic things that we can learn about the book. And so I want to do that. And so if you're not going to be here in the future weeks, then guess what? You're coming to the right week, so you know exactly what the book of Proverbs is all about. And so the book of Proverbs, or I guess what I should say is the word proverb actually means a soft, pithy, often poetic saying that's designed to teach us something morally. Doesn't that sound sweet? So in a few minutes, we're actually going to do an exercise. We're going to figure out, because there's a lot of proverbs that exist that sometimes we confuse as proverbs from the book of Proverbs that are actually not in the book of Proverbs, or we'll say things that the book of Proverbs actually doesn't say, because there's lots of proverbs. Every people group has proverbs that teach us these life lessons, right? I'm sure you have some parents sometime when you were growing up who told you certain things that were like your family proverb, like cleanliness is next to... It's actually not in the Bible, right? And so there's these phrases, these proverbs that we've learned along the way, and these are like lifelike guides. They're kind of like a compass. They're going to get you in the right direction. And so sometimes they're funny. I think they are anyway. Sometimes they're serious. Either way, these proverbs are meant to help us and guide us and help us develop our behavior or our character. And so as we work through Proverbs this summer, we need to keep in mind that they are biblical truths helping us discover this other big word, which is wisdom. That's what we're seeking. And to our knowledge, King Solomon, which was King David's son, he wrote most of the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. So he's saying, hey, just so you know, these are my Proverbs. In chapter 10, verse 1, it says the Proverbs of Solomon, which means there could be a break where somebody else included some Proverbs. Proverbs 25, verse 1, these also are Proverbs of Solomon, which are the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah. They copied these. And then if you go to 1 Kings chapter 4, it says this, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind like the sand of the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all other men. He was wiser than Ethan, the Ezrahite, and Heman, and some other words there, right? Calcol and Darda and the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs. And his songs were 1,005. No estimation there. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish. And people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. I read that from 1 Kings chapter 4 and I think, I want to know the wisdom of Solomon. Don't you? I want to know this guy. I want to know what he has to say about life. I want to know what he thinks about certain topics. And would you believe it? God gave it to us in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Song of Songs, if you dare. He gave it to us. We have it. And when not Solomon, we normally are told, like in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17, through chapters 24, verse 34, these sayings were the sayings of just wise people. Proverbs 30 is sayings of Agar and Lemuel in Proverbs 31. And so Proverbs is part of this biblical wisdom literature. That's what we call it, wisdom literature. Anybody know the other books of wisdom literature? How about Job and Ecclesiastes? And a lot of people would include Psalms and Song of Songs, right? And so what are these wisdom books? The wisdom books help us live wise and meaningful lives. That's what they are. They're there for us to see, how is God going to inspire us to live wise and meaningful lives? And Proverbs gives us practical guidelines to live daily. Job and Ecclesiastes, they help us wrestle with suffering and the meaning of life and the limits of human wisdom, because human wisdom can't fathom everything that God can fathom. Psalms and Song of Songs are poetic reflections that are filled with all sorts of different themes in life that help us grasp who God is and what God's doing. And so the key idea from Proverbs is this idea of wisdom. And so there's this Hebrew word called chokmah. I just like saying it, because you kind of get to, you got to get the, you know, stuff in the back of your throat, chokmah, to say it accurately, right? And so it's more than knowledge, and that's what's important, because what the Bible's teaching us, what Proverbs is telling us about is not knowledge. This is more than knowledge. This is practical insight that gets applied into our lives. It's skillful. It's about being skillful. It's about being just, and it's about living a righteous life. And Proverbs tells us that wisdom is a gift. It's a gift to us from God, helping us to steer our lives and to give our lives direction towards the many choices that we will make, that we will make wise choices, that will have moral integrity, and that will care for others and will care for the welfare of others and our families, our communities, and our cities. And so most of us, what we know about Proverbs are chapters 10 through 29, which are all those little individual statements. There's hundreds of sayings about any and all aspects of life. We get wisdom about marriage and justice and generosity and debt and speech and poverty, how to work, forgiveness, friendship, character, alcohol, family. All of these things are put into a couple of key ideas throughout the book. And so We're going to reset here for just a second and do something fun. Can you handle fun today? All right.
Good morning, Mountain View, and welcome to Wisdom or Folly, the game show where you're asked, is this proper wisdom or folly? And now your host, Tom Zellian.
All right, we need a couple of contestants. Who's eager and willing to play our game today? Come on up. Come on, people. Don't make me call on you. All right, Dave Lane, thanks for volunteering. Come on down. Everybody give Dave Lane a round of applause. This is fantastic. Woo! All right, come on, people. I said, did you want to have some fun? All right, there we go. Thanks, Deborah Tomlin. Come on down. You're good. You're good. And Mike Flom, we're so glad you volunteered today. Come on down. How many do I have? Is that one, two? I probably need another person from this side. Any volunteers? Man, we're so glad Mike Link came all the way from Arizona to visit us. Come on down, Mike Link. All right, we're going to play a little bit of a game here, and we're going to test your biblical knowledge on the Proverbs. I don't know. We'll see how this goes. So here's what I want you to do is kind of pick a section, and you're going to represent the section. If you're online with us right now, here's what I want you to do. You can participate. You can put wisdom or folly for each of the answers that we are going to ask. Here we go. Oh, Mike, you need one. I guess this is how we'll do it. We'll do girls on this side and boys on that side, and we'll see who's got the most wisdom. Three against two. Can we do this? Who? Dar volunteered? Oh, Darla? Darla, come on down. Darla. Well, how about we get Dar and Darla? How's that? We'll do that. There we go. Oh, look at it. She's like, I'm not going. There you go. Come on down. All right. So here's how we're going to play. Up on the screen is going to be a proverb. But you are going to have to guess whether or not it is a real biblical from the book of Proverbs proverb, which we will call wisdom, or whether or not it's just folly, all right? Not that these other ones are folly, but they're just not in the book of Proverbs. I've worked hard. They're counting on you. All right, so are you ready for the first one? All right, here it is. God helps those who help themselves. It is not a proverb in the Bible. However, it is an ancient Greek philosopher proverb that Benjamin Franklin made very popular. And so it can get kind of confusing, can't it? That was actually really easy, but let's do the next one, right? We'll keep it in line with this, right? Money is the root of all evil. Is that a proverb from the book of Proverbs, or is it not? Ooh. And crowd, help him out. Help him out here. All right. Here's the answer. The answer is no. It is not in the book of Proverbs. However, there is a similar verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 that often gets misquoted as saying this, but this is not it. All right, here's the next one. You guys can't cheat here, all right? Here's one. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Is this wisdom or folly? It is. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, right? How about this one? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. And the answer is folly. It is not. It is an English proverb with some medieval roots, right? All right, here's the next one. The lazy do not roast any game. The lazy do not roast Any game? Crowd, are you helping your contestants out here? It is wisdom from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. How's our online audience doing? You keeping up with us? All right, all right. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Is this wisdom from the book of Proverbs? It is from Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. Let's check your wisdom here. Mercy is with God, but action is with man. Wisdom is with God. Mercy is with God, sorry, but action is with man. Is this wisdom or folly? It is folly. It is not in the book of Proverbs. How about this one? True gold fears not the test of fire. True gold does not fear the test of fire. Is this wisdom or folly? This is not a proverb. It is not a proverb. But it's not folly. It's like I said, they're just, you know, it's not biblical wisdom. Here's this one. The leech has two daughters. Is this wisdom or folly? I don't know what Solomon was thinking, but Solomon thought this was wisdom from Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15. How about this one? Like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. It is wisdom from Proverbs chapter 26, verse 9. How about this one? A grateful heart stores up blessings like grain in the barn. It is not in the book of Proverbs, but it's great. It's great advice, right? How about this one? Wisdom walks softly, but folly shouts from the rooftops. It is not in the book of Proverbs. Would you give all of our contestants a nice round of applause? I know, and most of you in the audience are like, I am so glad he didn't call on me. I think often we run into these proverbs and we think, oh man, that's got to be a proverb, right? Of course, I grew up in the part of the country where there are all sorts of proverbs, right? Pastor Craig did a good job at compiling some of these great sayings, like the mule that chews up his own collar is fixing for a sore shoulder, right? Right. I can't even say it. A sharp axe is better than big muscle. Don't blame the cow when the milk goes sour. Like, come on, these are great. How about a crooked cornstalk can still have a straight ear? Like, that's serious wisdom, right? It sounds it. It doesn't take a prophet to predict bad luck. Or how about, it's easy to get off of a bucking mule. Here's what I know about Proverbs. Proverbs is not necessarily considered good advice. Like, if we read the Proverbs as just good advice, we're going to miss what Proverbs is all about. Proverbs is actually an invitation by God to learn wisdom so that we can navigate through life in the best possibilities. Proverbs are actually probabilities, not promises. And it's important to know that, because sometimes I think we read through Proverbs and it says, well, God's going to do this and do this and do this. And we read those as promises when really what Solomon's given us is, hey, with all of my experience and what I've seen, this is likely how this is going to work out for you, right? And basically, Proverbs focuses on the general rule. It gives us the general rule. They're not the exception. And sometimes there are exceptions to these Proverbs. And so I believe what Proverbs actually believes. And I hope that this will be part of the theme throughout the whole summer for us, that anyone can access and interact with this wisdom. anyone can use this wisdom to make a beautiful life for yourself and for others around you. And yet it absolutely begins with some of the most fundamental, simple understanding that most of us will often reject at some point in our life or another. And it's Proverbs chapter 1. So I'm going to leave you with two simple lessons here in the rest of our time. Proverbs 1 says this: "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness and justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles." In other words, what Solomon's saying is, I am imparting for you discipline and insight and prudent living and moral understanding. And that was his goal. That was his objective in this entire book called Proverbs. He just wants to instill this in us. But this is what he says. All of that in the first six verses leads up to this verse: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." He said, you want wisdom? Here's what wisdom is. And I'm willing to give it, and God is willing to give it, but it starts basic. Fear of the Lord is the very beginning. It's the foundation of grasping what this wisdom is. And sometimes I think we confuse what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is this deep reverence, awe. It's a humility before God. It's a trust in God that's beyond a trust in anything else. The fear of the Lord is recognizing God's sovereignty, his submitting and saying, I believe your way is better than my way, and orienting our lives around who he is. And this is what Solomon says. You want to grasp wisdom? You want to capture insight? You want to build a beautiful life? It begins with the fear of the Lord. And so my posture of fearing God, it develops wise living. That's what it does. It keeps me humble. It keeps me teachable. And it keeps me rooted. That's what the fear of God is all about. And in Proverbs, we are going to read 10 different speeches. And they're speeches from a father to a son. It's as if the father says, sit down, son. Let me give you some wisdom here. There's 10 of these speeches. And after telling us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we get the very first speech. And the very first speech starts in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. It says this: "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." Can you picture it? A father sitting down with his son, saying, let me give you some wisdom here, right? And forsake not your mother's teaching, by the way, because your mother is wise. For they are graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Man, how many fathers need to have that conversation with their sons? Right? Solomon goes on then, and he's going to tell us how foolishness and evil leads to selfishness and to pride, which leads to ruin and leads to shame. And that's important for us to understand the progression, right? If Solomon's going to say, listen, if you're going to live foolish, then you're going to be enticed by sin, which is going to lead to an evil life, which is going to lead to living selfishly and pridefully, which leads to ruin and shame, and your life won't be beautiful. What Solomon wants for us to do is he wants us to embrace the fear of the Lord, which leads to virtue, it leads to integrity and generosity, which actually leads to a life of success and influence and peace. And so the very next part in Proverbs chapter 1, we're introduced to somebody called Lady Wisdom. There's this tension in the first 10 chapters of the book of Proverbs between Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom and the father's speeches. And Lady Wisdom is going to teach us next week, by the way, that upholding justice and living generously and living with integrity is going to help us live this successful, influential life that will be a life of peace. But in verse 20 of chapter 1, it says this: wisdom cries aloud in the street and in the market. She raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Verse 23, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. In other words, Solomon's saying, listen, wisdom is available to all of us, to any of us. Verse 24, because I have called you and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I don't know that Lady Wisdom's that nice of a lady. In other words, when you don't listen to wisdom and you choose your own life and you choose the life of a fool who is enticed by all these other things, Lady Wisdom's going to stand back and be like, I don't know. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. I mean, Lady Wisdom here gives us a very poetic way to realize and recognize that we live in a universe that's filled with morals, ideals. And we'll discover more of this next week when we look at Proverbs 8, but for now, wisdom and reproof and discernment and the importance of fearing God is what Solomon says is the fundamental, foundational, most important principle of a life of influence and success and peace. And so before we wrap up our introduction to Proverbs, there's one more section that I think echoes this truth, that are the fundamental, foundational, important principles. So we have the fear of the Lord in one hand. And again, we'll be reminded that wisdom comes from God, right? And it's accessible to anyone. And it requires a healthy perspective of fear of God, where you're trusting God beyond yourself and anything else. But there's this second truth that I think is fundamental to the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, it says this: my son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. And so guess what we have? We have another speech from the father to his son. He's going to impart this wisdom to him. And many of us have this next section memorized. And I think it's one of the second pillars, the fundamentals of the book of Proverbs. It says this: let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And here it is: trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Fear God. Trust God. Fear God. Trust God. You want wisdom to live a successful, influential, peaceful life? You want to help change the world, build the kingdom of God? Solomon is letting us know that the two fundamentals to wisdom is fear God and lean not on your own understanding. Instead, trust God. Fear God and trust in the Lord. Solomon's saying this is wisdom, to trust beyond our limited insight. How many of us really, really are good at trusting God? How many of us are really, really good at admitting that my knowledge and my wisdom is limited and God is beyond me? Like, we're willing to say that, but then are we willing to trust Him in that? So Proverbs 3, verse 6 says, in all your ways, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your flesh, and it will be refreshment to your bones. And so trust with all of my heart. Trust him with all of my heart. This is everything. It's my emotions. It's my intellect. It's my strength. It's all of it. No half measures. Too often we're tempted to rely on ourselves, aren't we? Instead, we fear God by trusting God. Fearing God and trusting God means I submit, I obey, and I humbly acknowledge he is far wiser and far greater than I am. And so at the heart of Proverbs, we find this roadmap to living life well. It's rooted in humble relationships with God. And Proverbs invites us to listen, to trust, to obey, to live with others, becoming keenly aware that wisdom isn't knowledge. Instead, wisdom is a way of life for us to embrace. And so I want to invite all of us this summer to live the way of wisdom. How do we do that? I've told you, but let's recap. Let's cultivate healthy fear of the Lord. We've got to have this. You want wisdom? You want a life of influence and success and peace? Then understanding that God is greater than anything or anyone else, this reality has to be cultivated in our heart. It has to be a daily commitment to say, God, I am, you're amazing. I'm nothing compared to you. Because we can have little successes every day of our lives, and we can start to think we're pretty good. We can ride into the sunset of our retired life and we can think, look what I did. We could have great things going on with our families and think, I've been so bright and brilliant and smart. We can be doing good in our careers and have success and climbing the ladder. And often what we'll do, because it's our humanity, we'll think, I'm pretty good. I've been pretty successful. Look what I've been able to accomplish. Look at me. And you can read Ecclesiastes, because what Solomon's going to say in Ecclesiastes is all of that, none of it matters. And in Proverbs, he says, cultivate. You've got to have a heart that fears the Lord. And every day we have to remind ourselves, and then second is trusting him daily. Trusting him, it's easy. It's easy to turn on the news right now and think, hello, God. Are you aware of what's happening across the globe? Do we trust him? Yesterday afternoon, I had to turn social media off. And I think it might be off for a while because prepare, it's going to get bad. Prepare. I'm not against preparation. Don't hear me say that. But I'm more in favor of trusting God, that he's not surprised by any of what's going on in the world. And I want the voice of reason to be the loudest voice in my social media feed. And unfortunately, I don't think God has Facebook or Instagram. And it's really hard to get confused, because even in the wisdom, right, that's really not in the Bible, good advice, it's still not the voice of the Lord. And so we have to cultivate healthy fear, and we have to trust the Lord. And so cultivate fear. How do we do that? It's so simple. Read scripture. Recognize God's holiness. If you need to see about God's holiness, go back to Exodus chapter 3 or Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6 is when Isaiah is being called by the Lord to do something great. And he's like, I can't. And he's like complaining. Isaiah had been for 5 chapters about how messed up everybody is and why God doesn't do something about it and God should be doing something about it. God says, well, what am I supposed to do? Isaiah's like, I don't know. You should pick somebody and use them to go tell them. And God's like, how about you? Not me. Not me. Well, who will I send? Do you remember this conversation? Who will I send? I don't know. You're going to need somebody, but it can't be me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And out of heaven, don't say that to the Lord, because this creature with eyeballs all over, it's going to fly out of the sky with hot coal and burn your lips. And Isaiah's like, whoa. I got emotional for some reason. He's like, whoa. Wow. God, you are amazing. You are so remarkable. You are so unlike any of the others. I mean, read that. Cultivate healthy fear. Don't mistake fear for terror. This is reverent submission. That's what the fear of the Lord is. Trust daily, meaning choosing his path. Choosing his path. The reason that he has a path is because our understanding lags behind. It just does. We think we're crafty, brilliant, and smart. And so we're going to pick the path that we want to pick only to find out that it was a trick all the way. Trusting God means daily, I'm going to choose his path. And his path is set out for us. If you don't know his path, man, spend time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You want to know the way of Jesus? Study Jesus. You want to know what his path is? Then get into it and understand what his path is. And so the question that we have to ask is where in my life, what area in my life do I find it hardest to trust God instead of myself? In my own understanding. And then we're going to do this summer. We've got a cool little July calendar for you. Aren't you glad? That's not really what's important. What's important is the other side. One of the habits that I've had in my Christian journey is often I'll pick months and I will spend a day reading a proverb. The easy months are 31 days with 31. Sorry, months with 31 days. That's what I'm trying to say. Right? Reminds me of one of my favorite riddles. Some months have 31 days, some months have 30 days. How many have 28? All of them do, but anyway. That was for free today, guys. You're welcome. Maybe I needed my microphone again for that joke, but we're going to spend the day in July, right? We're going to spend the day in July. What am I trying to say? God bless you all who have to make sense of what I'm talking about, right? Let me read this. July is the month to grow in wisdom, wellness, and worship. There, that's what I'm trying to say. And so what we want you to do is on July 1st, we want you to read Proverb. Wow. After that explanation, I'm shocked you got it. July 2nd, we want you to read Proverb. Oh, you guys are brilliant, right? So can you guess what we want you to do on July 27th? That's perfect, right? And so we just want to challenge you this summer. Spend some time. Spend some time in wisdom. Spend some time in worship. And so we've added some other things in there, right? Like every day, pick a powerful prayer to pray. God, I trust you. God, help me love you deeply. God, help me live wisely. God, lead me to somebody today who needs you. We're telling you, drink water, eat some fresh fruit. Man, fresh fruit in this area in the summer is fantastic. But do these things. And let's seek wisdom. Let's accept the challenge, serve someone, and share our faith. Invite somebody into your everyday life and your everyday choices. Strive to remove negativity from your life and from your mouth. Speak words that build people up and be intentional about it. And I think our summer prayer is simple. I think it's just, Lord, give us humility to fear you. I think it's so simple. God, give us strength to trust you every day. It's just saying to God, God, will you give me the grace to live wisely? Help me walk rightly. God, help me not lean into my own insight, but help me trust your faithful hand to do what you've promised. That's it. And Solomon says, you maintain those two things, life will be pretty grand for you. I can think of how many choices I've made where I didn't fear the Lord and where I leaned in on my own understanding. You know how they worked out? Every one of them. I still make choices in my own understanding. And guess how they still work out for me? Yeah. If you're close to me, then you know that sometimes it takes me a while to move on something. Because I'm saying to God constantly, God, I don't want this to be me. 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 Are you sure, God, this isn't me? God, are you sure this is you? God, I think it's you, but I want you to really make sure it's you. And I would much rather live that way than my old self that thought I was pretty smart, pretty brilliant. Fear the Lord and trust him daily. We got it? Cool. We're going to move to our time of communion. I don't have a good segue today. We have a table over here, one up here, one back here and over here. We have bread, and we have the cup. And we eat the bread to remind us that Jesus' body has been broken for us, and that his blood has been poured out for us. That every single one of us has access to wisdom because of what Jesus did for us. Because Jesus died, because he was buried, and because he rose, any one of us can seek God's wisdom at any time. Lady Wisdom said it. Did you catch it? Just turn your ways. Just turn around. Just accept God's discipline and reproof and turn around and you will find wisdom. So let's eat today. Let's drink today. Let's be grateful that God has made a way for us to live wise. You're free to go. for the past several weeks, I've tried to use this time and just say, God, what do you need us to do today? And I was standing up here, and I just have this overwhelming sense that I'm just supposed to say, hey, you have some people in our church who are struggling with some big things, and the struggle is, do I trust God in this, or do I not? And so maybe that's you. Maybe you're in the middle of something where you're struggling to trust Him completely, because maybe what God's leading you to doesn't seem logical, doesn't make sense, doesn't seem to be the thing that everybody's doing. And so if that's you, I just want to pray over you today. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being so incredible and so awesome and just so amazing. God, we are in awe of who you are. We're in awe of what you've been able to accomplish. As I started today and we read 2 Kings, God, I'm amazed. I'm amazed by your faithfulness, over your simplicity. You are a God who can separate oceans. You can raise people from the dead. And you can make an axe head float. God, I'm in awe of what you're capable of doing. And today, some of us might be in the middle of some things where we know you're working, and maybe you're trying to do a little miracle in our lives, but God, it just isn't logical, and it doesn't make sense, and it doesn't add up, and it's not the way of the world. Would you help us today trust you with all of ourselves, with total and complete surrender, knowing, God, that you are worthy of everything. God, would you remind us today again and again and again, remind us this week over and over that wisdom begins with healthy reverence and fear of who you are, and that it's sustained and continues when we trust you in all things. Help us be people like that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together and let's sing.
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you. Do whatever you want to do whatever you want to.
I will make room.
Just stay in that posture. I'm just going to give you a minute. We've sung it. I'm going to let you give words to it in prayer. What is it? How do you surrender? Need to surrender right now? What religious practices are getting in the way of honest relationship? What barriers are you holding up to God? And God, we've sung it, and I just pray in our hearts that we're ready today to surrender. To surrender whatever boundaries that we place on you in our lives. God, whatever traditions that we hold you in and keep you tied to, that you would be unleashed in us, and that we would trust the Spirit that lives with us to guide and direct and to, God, to speak through us and to bring us wisdom. And God, as we depart from the room today, we take your Spirit with us to the world around us. And may he be in us unleashed to love and to care and to speak kindness to the world around us. Thank you for hearing our prayers this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go with that today. On the table on your way out, there's the card to pick up to follow us this month through Proverbs. Go in peace.
Tide rushes over me. There's only one.